the podcast with everything paranormal. It's the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your host Joe Shortridge and his sister, me.
The Poshmark Queen.
I am the Paranormal Posher now.
Yes.
I have officially taken that name. I've changed my name to a symbol. No, I'm kidding. You know, it's funny, the music that we...
Pee-pee on your shirt, just... Paranormal Posture.
Stop. I didn't have pee-pee on my shirt. Listen to my pants. It's going to be one of those shows, kids. Bear with us. That music that we played for our intro always reminds me of when we went to that strip club in Pittsburgh. So we traveled with the band when 60 Second Crush was still together, and we went... they were doing some kind of promo for the new album, and
yeah,
we went to this strip club because the DJ was gonna play the album, and we were like really excited because we were like, oh, this is cool, we're gonna hang out and stuff. When we get there, the dump.
It was naked karaoke night.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was so bad. Imagine
we had fun because we make our own fun, right?
It was so fun.
I miss just those days.
Yeah.
I miss those.
You got to go traveling with the band.
I know. We need to kick it old school like we used to.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be the merch bit or merch person, and Joe can be the roadie and the manager. And yeah.
We have not done a long trip with Dead in Five since we went to
Hog Rock.
Hog Rock, folks, is a giant campground with a
giant, like huge,
giant stage that would be the same size as like We Are the World or whatever concerts those were. But the interesting thing is the campground is a biker campground that is a nudist colony.
Yeah.
So
clothing optional. I kept mine on. Thank you very much.
The band went on stage at 1 a.m. and we're like, 1 a.m? Are you kidding? What?
Who's going to be awake at 1 a.m? Child, there were
giraffes
walking around. I don't know.
There's a sea of probably 3,000 naked bikers. In front, and it's not good naked, folks. It is not good naked, but it was a blast.
Staying in that cabin. We stayed in the cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
So it was.
Everybody did.
We all stayed in this. All of us stayed in one cabin, and it was like.
In one room.
It was like this giant. Well, it wasn't really a big cabin, but it had a giant bedroom with like 5 beds in it. And we had air mattresses, and it was in the middle of nowhere, Southern Illinois. Like, it was desolate.
Like
it was
cave in the rock.
And then do you remember we walked where that little campground was where we stayed? We walked down the path of, it was like a gravelly path or something. And there was this old abandoned cabin back there.
Yeah.
It was so scary. I was like, I don't think we were ghost hunting at that time, were we?
No, we just started the podcast because we did one of our first shows was Cave in the Rock.
That's where it was located. That's right. Man, I wish we would have known because we probably would have found some ghosts up in there.
Well, as you know, Cave in the Rock, the actual cave and Cave in the Rock was very haunted by the pirates.
Yes.
So if you want to know about that, go back to the first show, folks.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it was the first or second show that we did.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Many episodes.
Yeah, imagine... Okay. Just a sea of naked bikers in front of the stage.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
At 1 a.m.
And there was, like, beer cans everywhere. Yeah. And there was, like, free beer. I don't know. I got free beer. I don't know where it came from. But there was, like, people like, you want a beer? I'm like, sure, crack me open one.
But the funniest thing, we got back on the bus. And we're leaving. And as we're pulling out, this 90-pound naked biker standing out next to the road just waving at us goodbye was funniest.
Bye, come back soon. Okay, Grandpa.
It was great. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But the band used to, every other year,
unsee.
They would, you know, we only did that show twice, but every other year they have where they invite the bands, but because of COVID and all that, I don't think they're doing it. And it's a shame because it was a blast. Oh, I mean,
just the people watching alone was worth the trip.
Yeah. Your eyes are up here. Keep your eyes up here.
Yeah. I was like, thank God for like mirrored sunglasses. Wasn't there a wet t-shirt contest or something?
Yeah, right on stage.
It was a bunch of men with a wet t-shirt contest. Yeah.
And they were wearing thongs.
Oh, thongs, God. Thongs.
They,
oh, yeah.
And then the next day after that show, they went back and did a show in this like lean-to style barn next to the lake. And they had a Miss Nude contest or something going on as the band, or as we were setting up.
Mm-hmm.
And just,
it was so hot.
Yeah.
We were dripping with sweat. We were like, just like, I think they got a fan for the drummer or something.
Well, I brought that. Yeah. I always bring my Joe brought fan.
Like this heavy duty industrial fan. Uh-huh. Thank goodness. Cause it was like, oh God, it was so hot.
And then there was, that girl that sat on Dana's bass amp.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't a pretty sight, folks.
No, it was not.
But we had a blast. And as long as people have fun, we don't care.
That's right. We don't judge, right?
Yeah. Too we much. Did judge, and we laughed with them.
Well, yeah.
Because they laughed just as much as we did. So, anyhow, speaking about naked bikers, we are going to do a couple of things today. We're back on the subject of cemeteries because, you know, we love cemeteries.
We just have some weird and random things to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
And it always comes back to cemeteries for some reason. Joe and I are like, what are we going to talk about? Cemeteries.
Yeah.
Death, dying, well, cemeteries.
Okay, so this week, one of our friends posted on Facebook about a girl. It's this photo of this girl sitting on a tombstone, flipping off the camera, for one thing. And in the background, it wasn't even about that. Yeah. In the background, they said, look, there's a shadow figure right around the big red circle, you know. But it made us talk, you know, it's something to talk about all week about people that disrespect the grave sites. I mean, come on, she's sitting on a tombstone.
Yeah.
And obviously it's not a family member or nothing, but sitting there and laughing about it. And she was dressed up like she was a ghost hunter. So I don't know.
There's just all kinds out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Joe and I have been in hundreds of cemeteries, and we just, I mean, we love them, and we respect the graves, and we respect the people that are in there. We're not, you know, I mean, the only thing we take is photographs.
Yeah.
and you know, it's just, there's stupid as a stupid does, right?
I was on my friend Sarah's show last night. We recorded for, I don't know when it's coming out, but we recorded last night, and that's one thing we talked about was cemeteries and the different things inside cemeteries. And she's like, you know, every time I go anywhere, I always end up at the cemetery. I'm like, me too.
We're going to have to do a road trip or something with her.
Yeah, I told her about Woodlawn Cemetery here in Toledo.
Yes, it's so awesome.
And the different things about how when you were in there and you had your spirit box about over at the military area.
Oh my gosh, that was like one of the best pieces of evidence I ever got. And oh man, give me the chills just thinking about it. Yeah, I mean that, you know, if anybody comes through this area, you have to stop there. There's a couple of really good cemeteries around Toledo. You guys know, we've talked about them on our shows before, but that's just, it's so amazing the like history that you find in that particular, and there's a pyramid, which might be a portal. People have seen ghosts by that pyramid. And it's weird. Every time I go in that cemetery, I see a giant hawk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is weird. Does this hawk just live here? Or does he come to, like, maybe he's a spirit guide or something? I don't know. Could be.
I didn't tell her the whole story because I wanted to get more info on it because I kind of forgot when we were recording. It was like my mind went blank. But there's a, when you first drive into Woodlawn Cemetery, there's a really tall stone, like has an obelisk on it and stuff. And there's a chair up on top of it. It's like a living room chair.
Yeah.
And of course, it's made out of stone. But what it was when those ladies' husband died, all she did was sit in that chair. And after she passed away, they actually took the chair to a stonemason and he carved out the exact chair and it fit up in that space.
Wow.
And it said that people have seen the woman sitting in the chair at the gravesite.
Yeah.
So that's a story that's so interesting because I go in there and that's one of the things I always look at. I always look up at the chair.
I do too because I'm like, is she sitting in there? Can I see her today? Are you going to appear to us today? There was an article that I came across when I was doing some research for the show. So this is interesting. There's a ghost that lurks over a grave in a bone-chilling image from most haunted cemetery. Okay, so this guy, 26, his name is Tyler. I won't tell you his last name because I can't pronounce it.
We do that a lot on this show. We should just call him or was it Turd Ferguson?
Oh, crap. Okay. Tyler, 26, captured a haunting photo at the Pine Hill Cemetery in Hollis, which is in New Hampshire. And it's dubbed one of the most haunted. Now, here's the picture, Charles. We'll put it up on the page for you guys when the episode comes out. But
let me see.
Can you see the nothing. On the side?
Is that a stone or is that a figure?
I don't know.
It almost looks like a cloaked figure.
Yeah.
The woman in white.
The woman in white.
It's always a woman in white.
Okay. So anyways, I was, looking at it and it says that he decided to go to the cemetery. Now, it's called Pine Hill Cemetery, but it's also known as the Blood Cemetery.
Okay.
And it's named after Abel Blood, who was rumored to have been murdered with an occult connection. And the ghost is said to haunt his final resting place, and he fears that he had disturbed the spirit. And when he took this photograph, I mean, it looks like a ghostly mist outline of, I don't know, it looks like a cloaked figure. They went in about midnight, and there were some cold spots and warm spots, and they said it was pretty strange. But when they got home, they realized they had captured something going on in the photographs, and it's kind of like an ethereal mist. And it's visible between two rows of headstones. And when it's brightened, the mist kind of forms the shape of a person wearing a cloak. And it's right near Abel Blood's headstone. And let me see if I can.
Yeah, a lot of pictures in that article.
So the rest of the Blood family is also buried there, including a young child. They believe it might be the ghost of Elizabeth Blood. And they think this because the picture looks feminine and she's standing between two of the Blood relatives' headstones. Now, he went back during the day, tried to recreate it. Of course, he couldn't during the day. But he said there's a lot of people that believe that there's a spirit there. They have seen it before, that it kind of takes the shape. You know, some people have called it fake, but, it's up to you guys to decide. But it's interesting that, there hasn't been any real evidence found to substantiate the rumors that Abel Blood was murdered or had any connection to the cult. But they did some research on the genealogy, and the town history suggested he was a very Christian man living a good law-abiding life. Now, that doesn't mean very much because you and I all know that people have personas, I mean, look at these serial killers. There's so many serial killer documentaries out now. Mm-hmm. They're clowns and they're good looking guys and they're just, regular people and just have this evil murder side to them. And so the Blood Cemetery, they do have certain protocol for visiting that cemetery. It says to be respectful. Remember that cemeteries are a final resting place and that there are people in the community who care deeply about the relatives who stay there. She says it's not appropriate to misbehave or behave in a way that doesn't leave the cemetery better than how you found it. Don't leave trash. Don't disturb gravesites in any way. And, respect the dusk to dawn closure. Some, vandals have broken in and done some things in that particular cemetery, which, could definitely cause a haunting. What do you think about that, Joe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're disturbing someone's resting place. And, I was asked, do you think cemeteries are haunted? And it was the way I described it was the cemetery itself might not be haunted, but it's where everybody comes to remember their loved ones. So if the spirits are coming to see their loved ones, because they're, you know, that's where you go. And I don't think that the cemetery itself is haunted. I think that the spirits are bringing themselves back to their resting place because people go there to
see them. Yeah, I mean, like, if you went to visit somebody and they're thinking about you and their intent was, you know, to remember you, I'm sure that energy, the spirits are attracted to the energy. Did we tell the story about the mausoleum or the back by Dad's grave, the big building we went in and we heard the voice?
It was up by the road. There's a new mausoleum, and it's where they keep all the urns. I think we mentioned that a couple weeks ago. But
did we tell that story about here in the?
Go ahead and tell it again. I mean, it's an interesting story. Because I went in there the first time and experienced it. Then I took you in a few weeks later and tell them what you heard.
So Joe and I went out to visit Dad's grave. And behind it, they have built a new building. And this thing is massive. So it's one of those remembrance chapels where they have all of the individual little shelves for the urns. And people can put photos and remembrances in them. It's kind of a new thing, I would think, like in the last probably 10, 15 years.
I think so.
Maybe a little bit longer. And so this is the final resting place for, you know, there's got to be, how many do you think are in there?
Probably 400 to 500.
Yeah. And
because it's not full yet either.
Yeah. It goes ceiling to, like, I don't know, the ceilings are pretty high. They're
probably
like
25 feet.
25 feet. And go up, and there's so many people in there. And I walk in and I'm already overwhelmed, right? Because it's just, you know, it's just, there's so much like spirit energy in there. I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joe and I are in there and we're just looking around because, you know, we're curious Georges. And we're looky loos, and we were just looking around and just, you know, looking at the different remembrances. And, you know, there's a lot of mementos and photographs. And in the middle is a waterfall and like some, what do you call them? Like church pews.
Church pews,
you know, people can sit and remember, reflect. And so we're in there, and there's a couple different offshoots. So there's like a, you know, almost like a, it's almost like a cross, I would think.
I think, yeah.
So there's a couple little short hallways and one long hallway, and we walked all around it, and there's nobody in there, right? Just me and Joe, because we walked the whole thing, and nobody else had come in. And I'm sitting there, and I look at Joe, and I'm like, I hear somebody talking. I'm like, I hear a woman's voice, and it sure is. Blank. Joe and I both heard.
Yeah.
What did you hear?
I heard a bunch of voices, like maybe 15 or 20 different voices talking. Yeah. As if they were all just having conversations. And I've heard that last time I went in there, I heard that. And I recorded some because I had my camera with me, but I didn't hear them on that. But standing in there, you hear voices.
It was so I got so overwhelmed I had to leave. I said, Joe, I got to get out of here. It's just too much.
And it's just like, imagine coming into a place, a big building, and just people standing around talking. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah. It was so interesting because I was thinking about that. You know, you have a bunch of, and I mean, the cemetery, you have a bunch of different people resting in a different way, but these people are all there. Kind of consolidated, you know, like there's just so many memories. And
all the urns are in little glass cases so you can see them.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're all buried. It's almost like the remains are up in the room.
Yeah, and their photographs are there and little trinkets and remembrances. And I'm telling you, it's like, it kind of reminds me of like sitting here. So I'm sitting here. This is like the third time. At Joe's house, we podcast out of the studio, and I hear music playing. When I'm sitting here and his little heater is on, I hear rock and roll music.
Huh. Yeah, I don't hear it.
I mean, like, I know it's not the COVID brain, but
I play a lot of music in this room.
I know. Maybe it's just residual or something, but I hear it, like, in this low tone, and I don't know if it's the heater or the neighbor. I don't know, but I keep hearing it and Joe doesn't hear it. And then that's like being in that place. I'm like, I hear voices.
I heard them too. So that's one thing. Now, if I take someone to the cemetery, I'm going to just walk in that room and say, here, let's look at this room and just see if they hear it without telling them.
Yeah.
And it's the other one. Now you go into the other new one. Mm-hmm. You don't hear it.
Yeah, the just one up
in
the front.
Other, just in that other, the other one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's now, just... if you get a chance in any cemetery that you guys go to, it's just interesting to go into the giant mausoleum where you walk and there's halls of caskets in the walls. That's just, they're huge.
So creepy.
And I'm thinking, like the new one with the glass cases and all that, you got to remember that those remains are going to sit there basically forever.
Yeah.
And what happens in 500 years? Is that building still going to be there?
Yep.
You know?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's brand new, and it's, to me, though, what's it going to be like in 100 years?
Right.
Is the glass still going to be there? Are all the urns still going to be, you know, there should be.
Yeah, you know, it's like when we go into historic cemeteries where people are buried from the 1800s or 1700s, you know, like, that was a long time ago. And then, like, what are those people, like, 100 years from now, like, coming and visiting us and be like, look at them. They used to be podcasters. I don't know, Joe. It's crazy.
I'll have headphones on my urn. Have you ever seen those tombstones that look like trees?
Yes.
I heard a story a long time ago about them. So I looked them up, and it's dated mostly from the 1800s to 1920s. When the funerary art of the United States was moving away from the grand mausoleums and obelisks, they found themselves in like the greenwoods. They wanted to get back to more nature stuff. The tree stump stones were a part of the movement to turn the focus of death back into life. And the unique form, though, connected with the secret societies of the time. Just in Indiana alone, there's over 2,400 of these stumps. That's just Indiana. I didn't look and see what Ohio or that was, but they're in our cemeteries. We see them all the time.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things we see a lot, like when we go. I never thought about that, put the two and two.
So the emphasis was, like I said, on the nature, and the markers really grew more modest. Customs around death were starting to focus more on the deceased life and, you know, the people left behind. And the tree proved a powerful symbol for both the eternity and the humanity, recalling the, you know, the Bible's story of the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
One organization in particular became associated with the tree stump tombstones. The Woodsmen of the World formed in Omaha, Nebraska in 1890. It was a life insurance company, and at the time, it was, you know, really hard to come up with money back in those days. And if the family member that died was the breadwinner, then the family would, you know, be in peril. So the funeral societies banded together and started to provide members and families with sources of income after death. And that's where the Woodsmen came in. They were an insurance company, and they were actually selling the opportunity to make these stones so that they could advertise.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. So they were like advertisements, but they were also tomb markers.
So basically you get like a free tomb if you signed up for the insurance.
And they made them look like tree stumps in that.
Not a bad idea.
No. And the members, you know, use symbols like axes and stuff like that, but lots of the most common is the woodcraft. So that looks like a tree. Now there's different styles. There's the kind that are like a tree that have the branches cut off, so that would be the main tree, and then laying on the ground are logs with the names on them.
Okay.
There's also one of them that is in the shape of a cross, so it'd be like a tree in the shape of a cross, and they always use their symbols on them too, so people would know what organization they came from.
Mm-hmm.
So the organization ended up changing its policy to only allow contributions of $1,000 or $100 towards a tombstone, and that's only if the woodsmen were allowed to put their symbol on it. Now, in Wolfinger Cemetery here in town, it's Wolfinger Cemetery is in, located in a park, mm-hmm. Secor Metro Park, and the land was because of the Wolfinger family started there, and they built their cabin on that land. And their one marker is actually where the kitchen was, where his wife died. He actually made a marker there. And the kids are not close to it. The kids are over a little bit, and come to find out, that's the reason why is the kids died over in that area. Oh. So where they died, he actually made their stones. So they're buried where they died.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, in that cemetery is one of my favorite tombstones. It looks like a little log cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any of the history behind it, but it almost kind of reminds me of these woodsman stump grave markers. So it could, I wouldn't doubt if
maybe
it isn't. Yeah.
Could be. Yeah. Why wouldn't they build a log cabin if they're doing, you know, lumps?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about people who leave things on tombstones?
Like coins. Stones and coins mm-hmm. and stuff. The coins is interesting. Okay. So a coin left on tombstone of the deceased, like soldiers. Okay. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
So if you see a tombstone of a soldier or somebody that was in the military with coins on it, it means different things. If you have a penny, it means you visited. Okay. So if you leave a penny, it just means you visited, and it's a way for the family to remember that someone is actually there. A nickel means that you and the deceased soldier trained at boot camp together. If you served with the soldier, you'll leave a dime. A quarter is really significant, though, because that shows that you were actually there when the soldier passed away or was killed.
Oh, man, that's sad.
Yeah, so if you go and you see a quarter on someone's tombstone that was in the military, that means that the person that visited was there when they passed away.
Man, that's rough.
Yeah, but I see that on a lot of different stones, but I think the main thing is it shows the family that there's still people visiting the gravesite.
Yeah, which is nice
mm-hmm.
to be remembered, especially, you know, the family's not out there all the time. Do you think okay, this is a weird question. Mm-hmm. Do you think the cemetery ever cleans, like, the coins up or anything, or did they just leave them?
I don't know, because I've been to a lot of them that have a lot of trinkets on. There's the, mm-hmm. you know, like kids, if yeah. kids pass, there's always cars and stuff. And they seem to sit there for a long time, but after a while, I would think that they disappear somehow,
yeah.
whether somebody else takes them
yeah.
or what. But I don't know, because I do know that over in the Toledo Memorial Park, if you go back behind the mausoleum,
mm-hmm.
there's a section of fake flowers, and they actually encourage people that if you go back there and you see some fake flowers that you like, to take them.
Oh, okay.
Because what they do is they'll go through like 4 times a year and clean all the
yeah.
flowers that people left and mm-hmm. all that. And after holidays, they do the same thing. They'll go through and they'll clean up all the stuff that you left
yeah.
because, you know, basically they're cutting the grass, and lots of times people put stuff in.
Yeah.
If the lawnmower hits it, it flies across the
right.
thing. Like the on Dad's grave, I put the little Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
and it's still there.
It's so cute.
But there's other rituals, like people leave food.
Mm-hmm.
Different cultures leave different things on the tombstones. Mm-hmm. People leave rocks just as a memento to show that they were there.
Yeah.
But yeah, flowers is a big thing, we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just different ways that you remember your loved one. I mean, if the person loved hockey or the person loved yeah. racing, that you always see, like cars
yeah,
or
we've
toys.
Seen
or
so many unique things.
Mm-hmm.
We've also seen really, really unique tombstones and gravestones too. Like, you know, it's so cool. Like nowadays they do those etchings
yeah.
on there, and it looks like a real picture. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so lifelike. Or we saw one over in Toledo Memorial, there's a horse.
Yeah.
There's a giant turtle, like a bronze turtle, and, you know, just different.
There's one.
Little dogs and.
Yeah, there's one over, if you go there and you pull in to the left and you go around, there's actually a tombstone. And sitting on top of the tombstone is bronze statues of children.
Yeah.
Like they're playing on top of it, which we mentioned earlier, don't do, but this was made for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one that I see is giant elk.
Okay.
Giant elk statues.
Oh, that's right. We saw that.
And I've seen that in three cemeteries now. So that I don't know what the significance behind that is, but they're huge.
Yeah. Must be some cultural significance, mm-hmm. or maybe the people were hunters, or I don't know. But,
you know, and if you guys can think of any of the weirdest things that you've seen, like, I don't, maybe I shouldn't say weird, but the most strangest thing you've seen left at grave sites, let us know. I mean, we see beer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, beer and all.
Lotto ticket.
Yeah, lotto tickets.
We need to leave one for Dad. We'll leave him a scratchy. Yeah, so it's just interesting, you know, like, we love cemeteries. I saw an article today about the cemeteries in London, like the oldest mm-hmm. cemeteries, and there's a funeral train that used to go through there. Oh, my gosh. All that Victorian type things. It's just so interesting. I love all that, like, old funeral cars. You ever go back and look at pictures of, like, just, oh, it's so cool. Okay, so there's a really bizarre, but, I mean, it's bizarre to us, but not to mm-hmm. this culture. But in Indonesia, if a child dies before it starts teething, they bury the child inside of a tree. So what they do is they carve a space out of the tree, they wrap the infant in linens, and then they put it into the tree, and then they cover it with palm leaves and kind of like tie like rope around it. And they believe that the child will be absorbed into the tree.
Yeah.
And it's the wind will take its soul with it. So if you see, I'll post a picture on the show notes. There are these trees in Indonesia, and they have these little like squares with like these coverings of where they have buried infants. And they'll be like, you know, 10 or 15 in a tree. And as the tree grows, the body, you know, it's just so interesting. They also have... And that was more of a practice back kind of in the early part of the century in the last 200 years. Now they just put them into like a coffin and then attach it to the tree.
Oh.
Instead of actually carving the tree out. Well, they might.
Which is a shame because
That's kind of one of those newfangled ways to be buried is to be a tree pod.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Natural mm-hmm. burial things?
Yeah. They actually put you in a fetal position in a giant pod. And that's common. I mean, I know that Caitlin Doughty is huge on natural burial. Her mm-hmm. funeral parlor, that's what they do, is they don't put people in coffins mm-hmm. or caskets.
Or formaldehyde, right?
Nothing. No, uh-huh. they don't embalm the bodies or nothing. And they're just put in a linen and buried in the ground. And that's yeah. becoming a very popular thing nowadays. Because that's the way it's always been done back 1,000 years ago or whatever. And there's actually a lot of cemeteries popping up in the United States that's going to that. Now, one of the rituals that she said she would love to have done mm-hmm. when she passes is what's called sky burial. And what that is it's not illegal in the United States, but the body is put on the top of a hill and the birds actually come and eat the body.
Yeah.
It's a sky burial, they call it.
Huh. Sounds very Viking-like or something. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, interesting. Just a weird turn of events because we're talking about cemeteries today. But, you know, my friend David would have turned 50 mm-hmm. A couple of days ago. And his brother sent me a picture of his gravestone. His tombstone's finally out there.
Oh, okay.
But happy birthday in heaven, David. The big 5-0, right?
And I am the type of person that I like seeing tombstones because it's a place that you can go to remember the mm-hmm. person.
Yeah. You know, get out there and explore, mm-hmm. you know, you can kind of safely do that in cemeteries because there's not a lot of people around, right?
It all depends on the area.
Yeah, but.
I know that when I was researching the different burial sites for our family, I found our great-great-grandfather in a cemetery downtown that I never even knew existed. and the place is huge.
I want to go. I have not been there.
Oh, I'll take you there.
Yeah.
It's in a really bad neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
But there were people out walking around and that, so, you know, and that's another thing about cemeteries too. Like at Woodlawn, they have the Wednesday walkers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these cemeteries encourage people to come and walk because they are parks.
Yeah, like that one has an arboretum. And mm-hmm. So you can, and it's a big bird watching place too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. I want to get out, but it's so cold right now.
Too cold.
Too cold. It's freezing here. It's like 9 degrees. Burn, freezing. Just a quick ghost story. This is a real life ghost story that came across. And there is a house in Camborne, Cornwall, in England. I love ghost stories from England. Everything is so haunted in England, I have to go there. Okay. So the owner of a haunted house unearths a secret vault after a series of ghostly going-ons. So Rupert Ellis said a series of strange happenings aroused his suspicion when lights began to flicker on and off. He would wake up in the middle of the night at certain times. So the house was reported to be haunted, and he was shocked to discover that there was a secret vault door hidden within the walls. After ghostly happenings happening, he thinks, led him to it. So basically, the ghosts were giving him a sign. So he bought the house in Camborne, Cornwall, a couple of years ago, and he had no idea of the secret history within its walls. He said a series of strange going-ons aroused his suspicion, and when lights began switching on and off, he would wake up in the middle of the night. While these spooky events were happening in the house, which was built in 1832, it was a famous family called the Bassetts. Now, they were the head of the Tahiti Minerals Company, so they must have money, you mm-hmm. know, a lot of these, like, coal and mining companies back in, you know, the 1800s, families were rich because they had kind of had the lock on the,
yeah.
you know. But he told a reporter that, you know, it's a bit nuts, and I do have a suspicion that the house is haunted. There have been a lot of coincidences in the house and things that have happened. I get a distinct feeling that I was chosen for this house rather than me, choosing the house. He said about 3 or 4 months ago, an incident with the lights switching on and off had happened. And it wasn't the first time that had happened in the house. You know, there were other people that had lived there and experienced the same things. When he first moved in there was a manner of banging going on. He would get woke up at certain times of the night, every night, like the same time. And then he had a friend stayed there to validate his claims. He said that he went and he had somebody come over and do a tarot reading. Rupert said that after a tarot reading in the room with a friend, the vault door emerged with its badge saying T. Withers and Son from Bilson in the Midlands. He says, you can put things down to being coincidental, but there are many coincidences here. So I have to think I have a responsibility to put the house back the way it wants to be put back. So the vault would have originally been in a walk-in safe strong room towards the back of the house. So it was hidden by plaster and would have contained like mine plans and wages and ore, you know, things that they would keep in a giant, like huge safe. It's probably big as your bathroom, Joe. But inside the safe, they found big nuggets of turquoise copper, which means the mine waste was used in the building of the house. Rupert's bedroom was once the boardroom, seating 20 staff around a large oak table. And while some of the original tiles were buried underneath modern laminate flooring, he started to restore it and found those. He said he had found 5,000 blocks of reclaimed bleach flooring, and reinstated it all to the original character of the hall. And then the activity stopped once he restored the home.
Oh.
Back to its original.
And that goes in kind
Sorry,
of...
Sorry, I was having a hard time reading that.
But that goes kind of in the opposite of lots of times you start doing renovations and the ghosts actually act up this way. In his case, the ghost acted up and then he renovated the house.
Yeah, Yeah, it's, you know, we've got to get to England, Joe. Yeah, it's so haunted over there. We got to go. Castles and all that stuff.
But like I said, if you guys have any kind of stories that you want to tell about your dealings in the cemeteries, just put it up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and if you've got any interesting photographs that you've taken or evidence or seen anything strange. I mean, we've heard other stories of seeing not ghost entities, but
black dogs,
birds, giant birds. What do they call those?
Thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds. That's it. I can't think.
Thunderbirds.
Elementals.
Everything. Yeah. I mean, we've had so many people tell us about cemetery, and lots of times we talk to people in the cemeteries that see things.
Right. Anyways, but we appreciate you guys hanging out with us for a little while.
Yeah.
And enjoy the rest of your week. Come back and see us sometime.
Yeah.
But Joe, have a great week.
I'll talk to you later.
We'll talk later.
Have fun, everyone. And let's leave with Some Numb by 60 Second Crush. Goodbye, everyone.
Have a great week. See ya.